First, though, there's plenty of upside to Australia's minerals boom, the jobs, the economic activity and the export dollars. But journalist Matthew Benz is arguing there's another darker side to the story and the legacy of mining by Australian companies. He's just written a new book. It's called Dirty Money, The True Cost of Australia's Minerals Boom. Matthew Benz describes it as a book about greed, pollution and murder. And he joins us in our breakfast studio this morning. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning.
Greed, pollution and murder. That's pretty rough. Most in the mining industry would be appalled and reject that description outright, wouldn't they?
Well, they might, but unfortunately it's true.
Well, tell me more. Greed, murder?
Greed, murder was Anvil Mining in the Congo. They facilitated the putting down and murder of a whole village of people. Greed, well, we see that every day, surely. Look at the adverts that are coming out now from the mining companies. They're saying, oh, no, no, we shouldn't pay any more tax. Well, actually, they hardly pay any tax anyway. Andrew Forrest this week confessed, no, I haven't paid any corporate tax. Most mining companies pay an average tax rate of 14%.
Okay, let's zero in a little. Let's start with the other one, the pollution. You focus on a couple of specific communities and you take a close look at Lithgow, west of the Blue Mountains. It's had a long history of coal mining and electricity generation. And you speak at length in the book to a 79-year-old miner called John Hodgkinson. Tell us about his story.
John is a second-generation miner. He's been in the mines his whole life. I don't think he saw daylight until he retired. He is a man who loves mining, but is very, very worried about the legacy that has been left in the ground. He was repairing transformers and putting chemicals into them that were designed to stop underground fires. But in fact, he seeded the entire Lithgow area with these terribly cancerous chemicals. He's very worried about it. He won't drink from the taps. Basically, in Lithgow, they're pumping water from the Clarence Colliery into the water supply to drought-proof the town. John's,
which has been seen as a community service.
Which was seen as a great thing, but John is saying, actually, no, I'm really worried about this. What about the children? The pollution that is left, the legacy of mining, is the thing that we're not really addressing.
What he's concerned in this particular case around Lithgow is a chemical called arachlor, which is a PCB.
PCB.
Which we know how dangerous PCBs are as organic pollutants. Has it resulted in any kind of water testing? I mean, presumably there's been water testing.
There has been some water testing, but it's also being ignored largely by the people who still see mining as the key to the economic revival and survival of the town. And this is a thing that is people are meeting all the time. They're basically saying, we're going up against, anyone who speaks out is seen as going up against the mining companies and being against the town, when actually they're not, they're for it. What they're saying is, we don't like this pollution, we should do something about it.
But what I'm saying is, after all this time and all this pressure and all this awareness, surely companies and towns aren't just turning a blind eye. Lithgow's been a mining town for a long, 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 long time. Is there evidence building, medical evidence building, to sort of back up the concerns of the legacy?
Certainly local doctors have stepped in, sponsored water tests, raised their concerns, looked at the statistics and said, look, our statistics are worse. People are dying of cancer more here than in other places. But again, the authorities then say, oh no, it's a lifestyle thing.
There's communities all over Australia who are living with mining, and as you say, most of them embrace it. It provides jobs, it provides wealth, you know, trickle-down effect. But what about health effects elsewhere? Because there had been concern in the Hunter about different kind of clusters of different things, and I thought they'd been investigated and shown to be not associated with the mining.
I fear with mining, a lot of the things, the people who speak out don't have quite the same power and ability to get the level of research that the mining companies have. So in the Hunter, there was a doctor there who conducted his own small test, but he was given no backing or help to actually expand that test into a bigger thing.
And his concern was about asthma in particular.
Mm, yes.
The coal seam gas is in the news at the moment, and today the New South Wales Parliament will begin debating a Greens bill for a 12-month moratorium on the coal seam gas industry. The federal government is out today saying it's ridiculous to talk about a moratorium. The Queensland government says the same thing. You've had a look at this industry too, zeroing in on a couple of people who were the first farmers, really, first pastoralists to go along hand in hand with the coal seam gas industry, Katie and Scott Lloyd. They have a beef cattle feedlot southwest of Chinchilla in Queensland for the past 40 years. Currently, they've got 165 coal seam gas wells within 5K radius on their land. They said yes to this. What do they think of it now?
Oh, they're very sad about it now. I think they're regretting it enormously. Basically, the coal seam gas companies were saying it's just like a little fire hydrant on your land. Don't worry about it. But what they really...
Which it was initially.
Which it was. But what it meant was that they're driving on the land regularly to access these wells. But what it also meant was they're drilling down to access the gas. To do that, they have to penetrate the aquifers underneath. And this is the great worry, because the water is the thing that keeps the pressure that keeps the gas in the ground. Mm. To release the gas, not only do they have to fracture it with high-pressure blasts of chemicals, they then pump the water out. It strikes me that in Australia, water is a scarce resource.
Well, and that's a great concern, and the Greens in the federal parliament are looking at a private member's bill to try and have an inquiry into the impacts on the water supply. But what have the Lloyds found? Have they found any damage to their water supply?
Yes, their water supply is down dramatically.
How much?
I think it's gone down two-thirds in the last, and there's probably only 5 years left.
So look at a couple like the Lloyds. Why have they gone along with it? Well, they haven't just, you know, the coal seam gas companies haven't just gone in and put on 165 wells without asking.
I think the thing with the Lloyds is that they were very early in the piece. There's a lot more awareness now about coal seam gas, but when they started, they just believed what they were told, and it's not actually right. There's also a further point to this that a Cornell University study which says that this gas is actually not any better than burning coal. It's actually worse for greenhouse emissions. My argument there would be, that's one argument. The miners say another side. Perhaps we should just take a break and find out what the reality is.
These arguments, as you say, both sides really worlds apart on almost all of these arguments within the mining sector. Your book's a bit of a global look at it all. But just on another current debate, the mining tax, I mean, did you delve into what companies are paying what and if they're paying a fair share?
I did. I looked at a lot of them, and it's startling and frightening. The mining companies in total only pay an average of 14% tax. 83% of them are foreign-owned anyway. Australian mining operations are 83% foreign-owned. We're not getting the bang for the buck that we should be getting out of this. If we look at Norway, they have a sovereign wealth fund. That's a fantastic way to preserve the mineral wealth that we have in the ground now for the future when we don't have it.
Okay, Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. Matthew Benz and his book Dirty Money, The True Cost of Australia's Mineral Boom, is published by William Heinemann for Random House, and he's talked to all sorts of people. There's a lot of first-hand accounts in this book if you want to have a look. It's 8:14 on Breakfast.